Well, welcome to this Tenebrae service tonight, a Good Friday service. Tenebrae means darkness in Latin. And as we come tonight to remember, to evaluate our lives, to think of what was done so that our restoration with God could take place, the depth of God's love, the depth of the love of Christ, and what was went through and what was done through him, that we may have a life eternal now. But for an evening, we want to step back into that time of darkness when the light no longer shone at that time. So thank you for joining us tonight, and we pray that it'll be just an evening of a remembering, and at the end, just thankfulness of what was done for us and the love that was shown for us. Let's pray. Father, we come now as your body, Lord, the ones that you have loved and demonstrated and manifested your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. As we come tonight, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon it. Lord, we want to honor you tonight by remembering the depth of your love and the extent of your love, Father, as we step back and look at your word to remind us of that love and what was paid for by your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that we may have life in you. So, Lord, this time is for you. It's to honor you. It's to remember, and it's to love, show our love for you tonight. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing with us, please. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see beauty that made this heart.
Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 14 through and following. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for the crucifixion. When the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest, named Caiaphas, they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and to kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?' And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to go to prepare a place for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' Then the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover."
Matthew 26:20-25. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." It is interesting that Judas was a part of this group for so long, and no one knew of his thievery and treachery. No one but Jesus. Judas's betrayal caused the religious leaders to act before they had planned, for they had said, "Not during the feast." God, however, was looking after the timetable. And I remember this shadow of betrayal, and I wonder, have I ever contemplated betraying my friend?
Matthew 26:26-28. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin." Okay. The elders are now going to distribute unto you the bread and the cup to celebrate communion. and to share in communion, and wait until everyone has been served before you eat together. I'll give instructions on that after this is done. Well, the elders are still passing the, they call them elements. It's the bread and the cup. I'd like to read a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. It gives a meaning to what the former scripture that I read about when Jesus said that drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. Because Paul, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 23 and through 26, he gave more meaning to it. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given it, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, that's kind of a strange verse to me, proclaiming somebody's death. If we did not know the end result, this wouldn't have made much sense. But we do know the end result. And it's as if Paul could have just continued writing this passage over in Romans 5, 6, when he says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, that's why we proclaim it. You have I like three R's: remember, and then Y is remission, which is what this verse is talking about. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it goes on to say, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved through the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's why we proclaim it. That's why we exult in it. At the time that it happened, there was no proclamation. There was no exaltation of this. But we have hindsight, and they did not yet have their foresight. So the reconciliation took place as well. You were enemies of God, we were, and now we're friends. And it's all because of what Jesus said we are to remember. So let's come together. By the way, do we have something for me up here as well? Okay. That's what I was waiting on. Yeah. I don't know about doing this with one hand, but as we eat together, remember Jesus said that, I'll just read it. It's easier to do it that way. As we take the bread first, and remember, he said in verse 23, and I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So let's take the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of Jesus and what he did for us, let's eat together. And then, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. And we thank you for the bloodshed, the sacrifice rendered, and the good news, because we now have something to proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Matthew 26, verse 30. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Matthew 26, verses 36 through 45. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners."
We didn't understand what was going on. We had spoken bravely, but our courage had yet to be tested. I remember this shadow of desertion, and I wonder, when there's trouble again, will I run?
Luke 22, 47 through 62. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and the elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly.
Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death. They were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. Some stood up and began to give false testimony against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands. Not even in this respect was their testimony consistent. The high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And tearing his clothes, the high priest said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fist and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers received him with slaps in the face.
Forgiven, 'cause you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and you rose again. Amazing love, how can it be?
Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you.
I remember Peter's denial and I wonder, will I stand by my friends in trouble? Or will my loyalty be only in good times? I remember the mocking and the scourging, and I wonder, have I made fun of others? Have I been part of an accusation that denies a person's dignity by my silent witness? We have become hardened to scenes of crucifixion and death, however, we cannot allow their familiarity to dull our hearts and minds to Christ's crucifixion.
Mark 15. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation, and binding Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered him, "It is as you say." The chief priests began to accuse him harshly. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. Now, at the feast, he used to release for them any one of whom they requested. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in a recent insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had done in the past. Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd and asked him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate asked them, or said to them, "Then what shall I do with him who you call the King of the Jews?" And here's what they shouted back, "Crucify him, crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers took him away to the place that is the Praetorium, that they called the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, having twisted a crown of thorns, and they put it on him. And having began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews," they kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off of him and put on his own garments, and they led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, a man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear Jesus' cross. They brought him to the place that is Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. They crucified him and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each man should take. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read this: "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also with the scribes were mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him were also hurling insults at him.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and someday for a crown. will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a
I remember the mob crying, "Crucify him." And I remember Pilate washing his hands of responsibility. And I wonder, was I ever part of a mob which acted by emotion and did things that I would never have done alone? And have I been guilty of shirking my responsibility?
Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
And then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, they asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers, he pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen and testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture: "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, he asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, he also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Sun.
You, as Easter people, you know that the dawn of the third day is coming. However, for us disciples, there was no hope. The light of the world had left us. Our candle had gone out. Only you know what joy awaits us in 3 days. We leave to await the dawn.
I'm going to close our time in a word of prayer. We just took part in, brings us back a couple thousand years, the weight that the first followers of Jesus felt. It's a weight that many of us are feeling right now, and one that rightfully moves us. And maybe right now you're realizing, I need to sit in this a little bit longer. And if that's you, that's okay. I'm going to close in prayer, and after I say amen, we're going to keep the lights down. I encourage you just not say anything to the people next to you. Some of you may want to sit here a little longer and think, ponder, pray. For those of you who are ready to get up and step outside, just to encourage you, keep talking to as minimum as possible until you go outside, just to help us remember the weight that the first followers of Jesus felt. Once you step outside the glass doors, converse, talk, chat, those sorts of things. But for those here, maybe in the room, want to sit, pray, ponder, let's respect that time. And then we'll come back. For many of us, Sunday morning, 7:30, we'll rejoice as we have a sunrise service. We celebrate what we know is coming, but the first followers of Jesus, there was weight, there was sadness, disappointment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this evening as we spend time remembering those final days, those final hours, those final minutes, and even as we consider what the first followers felt, what they walked through, we, our hearts tonight, are gripped yet again by your incredible love for us, that you would go to such lengths. You would let yourself be humiliated in such a way so that we could experience righteousness. What an incredible God you are. What an incredible Savior you are. We thank you. And right now, we remember the power of the cross, the power of your death. Pray that you would give us guidance and comfort as we consider these things that are heavy upon our hearts right now, as we await whatever you have to bring, because you, God, are a faithful God. And that is where we find comfort this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.